Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're all here in the Southern Bank Corps studio. Football season has arrived, guys. Golden Eagle new era, Blake Anderson football, begins Saturday with a resounding win over Alcorn State. Dima, I know that you were there covering the game. Kelly followed the game thoroughly. Did you see everything you had hoped to see?
Yes, I did. Coming into the game, there was a list of things that I wanted to see this team achieve in the opening game against Alcorn State. And I thought, coming out of the game, that they really achieved everything that I was looking for. And, of course, I'm just a reporter and don't really have a bearing on the team as far as how they perform. But, coming into the game, I wanted to see them be able to run the ball. And they were certainly able to do that with over 300 yards rushing. I wanted to see the pass protection fine. The pass protection to start the game wasn't great, but then it developed into what it needed to be. And I think it was only one sack the whole day. I wanted to see the tackling be good. Only 8 missed tackles the whole game. I mean, that's exceptional no matter who you're playing. I wanted to see the defensive line, consistently get pressure in the backfield, and they did. They had 10 quarterback hurries. They didn't get any sacks, but, Alcorn State's quarterback was pretty hard to tackle. So the point is, against a SWAC opponent who's an inferior opponent, they did what they were supposed to do. And that's what Blake Anderson said in his post-game press conference remarks to us in the media, that, he said, no disrespect, but this is what we're supposed to do against Alcorn State. We're supposed to go in here and win this game very handily, and they did. Now the scales of the Richter scale, almost turned drastically. You go from an Alcorn State team who's, your 3 touchdown favorites against, and now you're, 33-point underdogs this week in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So overall, very encouraged, but it's hard to glean exactly a lot of things from it.
But one of the things that was on my checklist was protecting the football. There were 2 fumbles, but the Eagles recovered both of them. Something else that really jumped out to me was, you expect normally for any football team, not just the Eagles, but to be a little bit sloppy at the line of scrimmage, and only 4 penalties on the entire day for a total of 25 yards. 4 penalties an entire game for a group of guys that really haven't been together that long. I thought that was remarkable. And Dima, you talked about rushing the football. That 150 mark was kind of was your breaking point there as to what you wanted to see. But, well, first of all, they ran it 55 times and used,
completely abandoned the pass in the second half. They just kept running the football.
And I think, 8 different guys?
Yeah.
With Robinson leading the way with 123 yards, Wilder with 90, and then Mario Sanders leading the team in receptions with 94 yards. I just really think, and I get the Alcorn thing, I get it, but even so, I thought it was as clean and as crisp a game as anybody could have possibly expected.
I agree. And you have to, you don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you also have to remember this one thing, and we all said it coming into this game. This is 70 new players on a roster, a completely new roster. And for them to look that good, even against a SWAC opponent who, like we're documenting, is not that Alcorn was not good. Coming into the game, I thought they were better than what they displayed Saturday. They were really, honestly, terrible, for most of the game. But Southern Miss made them look terrible, which is exactly what you want to see a Sun Belt team do against a SWAC team. In years past, Southern Miss has not made a bad team look bad like they did on Saturday. Even last year when Southern Miss played Jackson State, that was a 38-20 win for Southern Miss. Jackson State, really, that was like a 3-point game at halftime. This game was not even in doubt after the middle of the second quarter.
And it was a little bit of a slow start.
Sure.
And, when Alcorn took the lead, I thought, oh boy, the Twitter universe is blowing up. Alcorn is leading Southern Miss. And the Eagles missed the field goal. And I thought, boy, this is kind of an auspicious start. But man, once they really got their bearings about them, and then where the rubber hit the road, they really played well. I was proud of the effort all the way around.
One observation for me, you guys tell me if this is correct. Yeah, you're right. They play in Alcorn. Dean was right. They were a terrible football team. But they've been opening against SWAC opponents here lately in the last few years, and I would attest that this is probably the best they have looked in an opener against a SWAC team over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. That yes, Alcorn was bad, but Southern Miss made them look bad. And that's exactly what you want to see, you know, just kind of going over the stats. Southern Miss, 543 total yards of offense. I mean, that exceptional. I mean, exactly what – I mean, if you would have just pointed out things you wanted to see – 226 passing yards. Yeah, that's not, you know, only 180 for Hampton. It's not great, but it's because they abandoned the pass.
They didn't need to.
They didn't even throw it because they had 317 rushing yards in the entire game, and they averaged 5.6 yards per carry, which is exceptional. And that number was actually like 8-9, you know, in the first half. I mean, it's just hole after hole after hole after hole. That offensive line was pushing that Alcorn State front where those defensive ends were basically in the linebackers, you know, kitchen there. And it was exceptional work. Again, this is a completely different opponent. And we talked to Blake Anderson and all these coordinators today, this morning, for our weekly press conference. And they all said it. They said, yeah, that was fun. But, you know, it has nothing to do with what's going to happen this weekend at Auburn. He said this is – they said when they turned on the tape – all of their players exclaimed, like I said, do you have that on fast forward? And they're like, no, this is how fast Auburn is, you know. So, yeah, so it's a completely different opponent, which is why we still think that that UConn game is still going to be important, which, by the way, they play a Power 4 team this week as well, as they host Maryland, and they spanked, you know, an FCS team that they played. So it's a lot good to glean. But certainly you don't want to overreact, I think is the point.
And the running backs put up great numbers.
Sure.
I wish there was some statistic that the offensive line would get more credit as a unit.
Because they were like fourth in the country in PFF.
Okay, because normally, you know, the running backs are the studs. They're the ones that get all the credit for running those yards. But those holes aren't there if the line isn't doing a good job. And especially remarkable because only the coaches will really know. But the general public, we weren't really sure who those offensive linemen starters were going to be, even perhaps right up to game time. So... the opponent to me didn't matter as much as how crisply Southern Miss played like an experienced team.
So this is the PFF grades for your offensive line. Okay, left tackle Braden K, 91.2. I don't think Southern Miss had a 90-plus PFF grade all last year. 90.8 from Kobe Albert, who's the cornerback. This is kind of going from right to left. So Alawi Maui, 82.8. Dante Devine, 79.9. Joe Rounds, who was the center, 66.6. He kind of had some rough moments. Braden Kane, 65.2. And then Greg Nunnery, 34.3. So overall, it was all right, you know, but there were certainly some bright spots to the offensive line and certainly some things you're kind of looking at and going, maybe they need to change some safety.
And remember, Nunnery didn't even get here until...
Right, yeah. and he wasn't great in, you know, pass blocking grade. Those were pass blocking grades, not overall grades, by the way, that I just read off. He wasn't great in pass blocking last year either, which is why I didn't like him at left tackle last year. They moved him into left guard on Saturday and thought he was fine there. And, of course, his passing grade wasn't great. 34.3 is not good. But certainly don't want the 34.3 on the outside of the offensive line. They put him on the inside.
With less than a week now before you go play an SEC school, what do the Golden Eagles have to do to improve and to give themselves a chance Saturday?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, they're going to try to go in, and they said it today, like, we're going in trying to win the football game. We're going to try to scheme them trying to win that football game. I mean, certainly the talent disparity is almost insurmountable, even at this juncture, you know, that we see. I just think, you know, going into the Auburn game, it's a lot of the same stuff. They're just going to be a lot faster, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot more, you know, physically built. We'll see what happens. I mean, I just you always go into these games hoping to compete, but also trying to get out of there healthy. Yep. I mean, I think it's the number one.
And goal. Auburn won by 1 point over Baylor. Baylor goes for a 2-point conversion at the end of the game. They get stopped right at the goal line. Excuse me, or Auburn would have lost, but I think we have to assume Baylor's pretty solid football program, right, Kelly?
Well, you got Dave Aranda, who's under the gun there at Baylor. Baylor, a Big 12 conference team that has been really good. Their athletic program from top to bottom is stellar. And you got to give him credit for going for the two. You know, a lot of people would have played for the tie. But it was Big 12 against the SEC, so there's really nothing to compare there. But it wasn't – Auburn wasn't overly impressive. Neither was Baylor. But, again, the competition that the other one provided had something to
do
with that.
It's two different levels we're talking about, right?
Right.
That fair to say? The level of competition between Baylor and Auburn.
I mean, I would take Baylor to beat this team by – two or three touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point there.
All right, Marshawn Kennedy still to come on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're going to try to get a sound bite from Blake Anderson as well. And we're going to be looking around the league. Sun Belt football, every team in action. We'll break all that down as well. As we head to the break, our great friends at Forest Health remind you to keep up with your favorite team. It was fun Saturday. It'll be fun all year long. But don't forget, you're the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure to keep your health as good as it can be. Forest Health will help you. Expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Number 43 next, Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go between the lines and break down Southern Miss football.
Exclusive analysis sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition. The same values that define Southern Miss Athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
All right, Marshawn Kennedy joins us every Tuesday on the Super Talk Eagle Hour for football analysis, and I know Marshawn was at the Rock Saturday. And Marshawn, when we last talked, you said you wanted to see the Gold Eagles win by four touchdowns, and you would be happy. And we were talking in the first segment, considering the opponent, we all do recognize the opponent, but nevertheless, the Golden Eagles did everything I think you would hope they would do in this opener.
I came out the Rock feeling pretty good about the team. Everything I saw, you know, that's supposed to happen. That's what Southern Miss teams did in the past, consistently beat teams they're supposed to beat handily. And, you know, good impressive performance, that's for sure. Obviously, the next game is a whole nother animal, and we'll cross that bridge this week when we get to Auburn. But the biggest thing that I loved from this game, man, I'm big on discipline, hard hitting, and conditioning. I can't stress the conditioning enough. I even tweeted that out. That was a hot day at the Rock. It's the summer in September. And I don't remember a player bending over tired. I don't remember anybody on the ground cramping. It was a well-conditioned team. And some of the biggest things that you want to take out of game one, something that you can count on the rest of the season, and that's conditioning. And so seeing that in game one, if we're in some tight fourth quarter battles, we're not going to get tired. I mean, that was a well-conditioned team, man.
Hey, Marshawn, before the game, and we'll get to the game in just a second, if you would comment briefly on, man, there was so much Southern Miss talent in that stadium this weekend, and I'm not sure everybody knew exactly that was there, but you, among others, I mean, Jamie Collins, and just, I mean, the list went on and on of great Southern Miss. Good job, you guys putting all that that reunion helping put that reunion together.
Oh, yeah, the Southern Miss Football Administration did a great job making it a football reunion game, and a lot of guys came back, man. I mean, you know, my teams, saw Patrick Surtain out there, hadn't seen him in a while. We had a great day together, Adalius Thomas, Jeff Posey, Harold Shaw. I mean, just Latrell came back. I mean, it was a blast, man. Talked to guys from the past, and it was such a good time, man. It was heartwarming, and I just can't stress enough what a great job Southern Miss did putting that on. Had us going Eagle Walk, too, man. It felt like the old days walking an Eagle Walk.
Hey, talk about the secondary, too. But what a great day the secondary had, and you talked about that from your point of view. You and Dima both thought that the secondary was a pretty good unit on this squad, but boy, they showed out on Saturday.
Yeah, no, last year, obviously, we had a guy, Josh Moten, supreme talent. You know, last week, I didn't talk individuals. I said as a room. You know, the DB room is one of the best we've had in a long time. If you look at the depth chart, look at who we have on the corner. And sure enough, Kobe Albert showed out. Three interceptions, and there was a slant pass, if you guys remember, on the side of the field the Southern Miss is on. And it's just a three-step drop, quick slant pass. And he had the athleticism to undercut the throw and make a pick. And I'm like, man, that was supreme talent right there. So a lot of the stuff that I was saying about this DB room, I think it came to fruition in game one. And, you know, Kobe Albert getting three picks in one game is pretty awesome.
Marshann, talk a little bit about the running game, because, you know, coming into the game, just thought that if they weren't able to run the ball against Alcorn State, you know, it'd probably be a long year. And we saw that a little bit last year when they weren't able to run the ball consistently against Jackson State. Man, 317 yards rushing. They were averaging, you know, just over 5 yards a carry. I mean, it was just about everything you wanted to see out of that offensive line as far as run blocking. And then, you know, the backs they have between Robinson, Wilder, you know, Briggs was limited. But they just have a lot of options back there. And I thought it was displayed on Saturday. I mean, every person they brought in was just a fresh body and a fresh, you know, burst of speed out of the backfield.
Yeah, I know you talked about 150 yards last week, but I guess 300-plus is even better.
Yeah, that works, too.
Yeah, that works, too. So I can't stress enough the running game. And once it got to be the second quarter on, I mean, we dominated up front.
Right.
I mean, you could drive trucks through some of the holes. And I know Greg was there, but Robinson showed up really well, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Drawing a blank on our other running back. But we do have a deep running back room now. That's pretty obvious. But the big boys up front definitely look a little different than last year as far as what they did. And moving the defense, because I kind of compare games a little bit. If you remember, Coach Huff's team played Jackson State last
right.
year. You know, it wasn't overly impressive.
Sure.
You know, we play a SWAC team, Alcorn State, and we are completely dominant. So if somebody's looking for comparisons where we're at, maybe, I don't know. There you go. We looked a lot better against Alcorn State than we did last year against Jackson State.
Yeah, you're talking about Jameer Wilder, who is the freshman who...
Yeah, Wilder.
Who
with some PlayStation moves, man.
Yeah. You
guys out there. Almost had people in their cleats.
So for Charles Huff's team, just going back to the rushing, because I just think it's important. Against Jackson State, 139 yards rushing on 36 attempts, 3.9 yards a carry against Jackson State. Now, I think Jackson State's better than Alcorn State. Let me just put that out there. But I do think it's important for Southern Miss to have 317 yards rushing and your top three guys all over 5 yards a carry. That's just very encouraging to me, Kelly. I don't know.
Well, something else that I noticed, it was the up-tempo, the speed of this offense.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, you tune into the radio broadcast or – kind of see what was going on there, and Lee Roberts didn't even really have time to comment on the previous play because they were under center ready to go again. I that certainly is entertaining and fun to watch. Blake Anderson said this team he thought was going to be entertaining and fun to watch. But man, that up-tempo, and back to Marchand's point, when you go up-tempo, there's even a better shot that you're going to get tired, worn out, maybe cramp up as hot as it was. But as Marchand was also saying too, the Eagles, man, looked like they were in prime condition. And like I said, when those blue bloods come down here in a couple weeks from Connecticut, they're in trouble. I know there's a big game prior to that, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week I had mentioned one of the things I really wanted to see was Kyle Cepulo's offense, up-tempo. And we saw it, man. And like I said, you want to take things out of game one. That I know it's early in the season, but you might have something that can last throughout the season. I said the conditioning of this team, it's one of the best conditioned teams I've seen at Southern Miss in a long time. Like I said, nobody was bending over. The big linemen were just going. Nobody was cramping. It was just fun to watch that. And, you know, one thing I do like, too, is you like to see a decisive coach. You don't like to see, like, well, what do we do here? But he was Coach Anderson, we were 2-for-2 on fourth down.
Yes.
And there was one fourth down that we went for. It was fourth and very short on our own 32-yard line.
Didn't even mention
And if you remember how it was called, there was no hesitation. We were boom, bam, we're going under center, got the first, and, you know, it was just, there was a lot of decisiveness, there was a lot of discipline, there was a lot of organization. I liked what I see in game one of things you can take out that probably will carry through the season and just which are foundations that you have to have a great football team.
Now, Marchant, I just opened up the door here at the studio. There's sunshine out here. There's sunshine being pumped in.
I think you guys know towards the end of the Will Hall era, just play the radio call back. Bob had me on. You guys had me on. If you want to see no sunshine pumping out, we'll call it like it is. And I don't think I was sunshine pumping last week.
No.
You know, Blake Anderson, man, he's got the best resume that we've ever had of a head coach. And he just had the largest margin of victory by a head coach in his debut at Southern Miss history.
No, look.
So, I mean, there's, you know, the running, as I said, the wide receiver room, as far as a core, deep, look, you know, we don't have a Jason Brownlee, I get that, but as far as a core, it's the best I've seen in a long time, man.
No.
There's just a lot of parts and pieces. We're just not used to talking positive about Southern Miss people.
All right,
and that's not sunshine pumping. That's calling it what it is.
Real
man.
Quick, Marsh.
Sunshine pumping would be, we're going to win the national championship, and I'm not going to go there.
What about the Auburn game? Southern go in there and win
the
it?
The Auburn game, and this is all legitimacy, and I don't care if people speak of sunshine pumping, because for the first time in as long as I can remember, it seems now, being a Southern Miss fan, there is a glimmer of hope that we have a shot. I'm not saying we're going to win, but we have a shot on the road against an SEC team. And if you remember the early 2000s, 90s, 80s, man, we'd go to those games. It didn't matter their ranking. We felt we had a chance. Auburn is lower echelon of the SEC this year. I think I saw enough last week, but I don't think they'll be in the SEC championship game. We got a shot. That's all I'm saying. It feels good to think that this team, if they put on a really good performance, you got a shot.
All right. Marchant Kenny, everybody. We'll have him on the show every Monday rest of the year. Marchant, thank you. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Southern Miss to the top. Always an honor.
All right. Eagle Tire West sponsored that sunshine pumping segment. They're located out on Highway 98 West, where you can buy Goodyear and all sorts of brand tires. Full service auto work as well. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Somebody said something about this morning. I've had a bunch of people comment, and I'm pleased that it was noticed. I mean, the whole point of wearing it was for Christ to be glorified and it to be noticed. Man, I'm super grateful for my bosses. That allowed me to, to be really just use my platform to share my faith. Not probably an easy decision for an AD and a president, those are my views. That's just me trying to use my platform. I'm so thankful and saved by grace and opportunity. I'm in the position I'm in because of God and just being blessed. So, you never know what kind of response you're going to get. It's been 99% positive and a few negative, which is what I expected. But, I'm I wasn't completely aware of just where it would go. But in my opinion, if one person, it makes one person think, then it was worth it.
All right, that's head football coach Blake Anderson. Adema asked him a question this morning regarding the T-shirt that he wore that said Jesus is King in the Eagle Walk. We all have our opinions. I'm going to give mine. You can take my opinion, Kelly, and $8 and go down here and get you a coffee. But I think it was a wonderful thing to see. I think it delivered a wonderful message. And if that offended you, get over it.
Amen. I couldn't agree more.
This is still a country where, at least that I remember, that you can voice your opinion even if it is contrary to what Coach Anderson believes. And he said that he was only speaking for himself. He was the only one that wore the shirt. He wasn't trying to force it on anybody. And if it was a tough decision for the president and the AD,
yes,
so be it.
Not that this matters, but my wife and I were in Jackson, a very, very difficult family situation Saturday. And when we were coming home, you know, we were pretty gloomy. I saw that when I got home Saturday night, and it put a huge smile on my face, and it helped my heart. And I thank Coach Anderson for doing that.
But again, and kind of to your situation, you also have to remember what Blake Anderson has been through.
100%.
And that's part of the story that I think makes me get cold with butterflies. I mean, his wife dies of cancer. His dad dies a few months later. His son commits suicide. I mean, just time after time, just hard things. And he still goes out there and wears his faith and proclaims his faith and uses his position as head football coach, where everybody looks up to, as a platform to him for to share his faith throughout not only his team, but also he knew there was going to be cameras on him at the Eagle Hour, the Eagle Walk. He knew that, and he wore that shirt in.
Yes,
for that reason, yes. And that speaks about his character.
Dima, Coach Anderson is a huge breath of fresh air.
He really is. And again, you know, I still have to put my fandom aside, right, when I covered the team as far as my reporter role. But I mean, I'll sit here and just say, I am the biggest fan of Blake Anderson, and what he stands for and what he represents and what he's doing to these teams. And Marchant was kind of talking about it in the last segment. Look how disciplined that team was on Saturday that played, right? There was no personal fouls. There was no unsportsmanlike penalties.
Only four penalties.
There wasn't any talking to the Alcorn State players. You saw the Alcorn State players start jarring at them. Slimmer's players just came right back to the sideline. And I've been to almost every practice. I've seen Blake Anderson, you know, discipline his team. But that discipline encourages trust, and those players trust him and believe in their leader.
This is an encouraging day to me.
And to all parents who have young athletes, whether they're male or female, young people want discipline.
Yes.
Correct.
I know it's contrary to what sometimes you think as a parent, but they need to know and want to know where the lines are, and it can only bring you respect as a parent.
And again, I've seen Blake Anderson discipline this team in practice, and it's not been pretty. And people would probably be surprised on what has happened as far as him disciplining his team. Rightfully so, I might add. But at the same time, they still love him. They still respect him.
But I'm going to make this point too, Demi. You tell me if I'm wrong. I think he's found the perfect medium. I think the coach before went overboard about
correct.
That. The coach prior to him, there was no discipline on the team. Blake Anderson, again, just my opinion, doesn't mean anything, a breath of fresh air.
Well, week one of college football, the Sun Belt had some tough games, but overall they came out with a record of 8-4 overall. Let's take a look at the scores. Georgia State over North Carolina A&T, 59-10. The Panthers come out victorious. West Virginia beat Coastal 31-24. But remember, West Virginia is one of those Big 12 schools, so Coastal was punching up in weight. James D. Madison defeated Liberty 20-13.
I knew they'd win.
Just give the middle initial. However, Bob, Marshall, a team that you thought might be a sleeper this year, was just clobbered up at Penn State in Matt Campbell's debut, 45-0.
Look at who they were playing.
Yeah, Penn State, the Nittany Lions, they're up at State College. App State almost shut out the Maine Black Bears, 55-3. App State a winner. Old Dominion defeated Norfolk State 31-10. Memphis, led by Charles Huff, but not for long, defeated Arkansas State 42-24.
On that game, by the way, Arkansas State played very well.
They did.
Jalen Carter, freak athlete. And we saw it when he was here last year, but he displayed it last week in Memphis. He will not be in Memphis next year, and he might be at wherever Huff is next year, but I would be shocked if that player is in Memphis next year.
Georgia Southern, the Gadda Eagles defeated Charleston Southern 31-0. The South Al Jaguars defeated the Lions of Southeastern Louisiana 39-14. Troy 24, Sam Houston 21. And a team that's not getting much love in the SEC, but I think might be a little bit underrated, is the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They walloped ULM 62-13, and maybe I'm sunshine pumping ULM a little bit too much.
Well, you'll find out a little more about State next week. I think they go to Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
They do.
Big Ten team.
Let's talk about the breaking news. This team had this is the first time they have not scored a touchdown since 2019.
Is this real news or fake news?
No, this is real news. Okay. This team has not. On Saturday was the first time in football that they had not scored a touchdown since 2019.
You're talking about the Tulane Green Wave?
The Green Wave.
Can I say this? Y'all stop me now if I shouldn't say this. So Saturday night.
Just remember that we want Will Hall to come on the show that week.
I know. Saturday night, I wanted to hear what Coach Hall said. And I think he's a great guy. He was just so kind to the three of us.
Yes.
And honestly, Dima, it sounded just like the Monday morning interviews we used to do. Am I wrong?
It was unbelievable. I showed it to my dad, and I said, "If you close," I was like, "Close your eyes," and I said, "This is either."
That's what I did.
I said, "Close your eyes." I said, "This is either Southern Miss after they had just lost to I don't know whoever ULM, and then, or this is Tulane after the Duke game." And I played it for him with his eyes closed, and he said, "Oh, well, that was at Southern Miss." I said, "Nope." I said Tulane.
Did it not remind you of Monday mornings?
It really did. You know, just the. I'm not even going to do it.
We got to fix it.
We're going to have to fix
and,
it.
And they play the Jaguars this week, and they're like 18-point favorites. I would consider picking the points, at least, with the Jags.
South Al against. And
I'm not quite so pessimistic about the Golden Eagles going to New Orleans now.
No.
Who would you rather have as your coach?
Well, I'd rather have Blake Anderson.
Certainly. Yeah. And that matters.
And if you don't think it's tough for schools in the Sun Belt to step up in weight class to play an SEC or a Big Ten, it was shown this weekend when Western Michigan, the Broncos, laid their hearts on the line against the University of Michigan and, in my opinion, get the win stolen from them. Now, the Big Ten, according to Dima's reporting, the Big Ten has said that they have reviewed the film and or the tape or whatever, and that there was half a second left on the clock. Okay, then if that's pardon me, if that's the case, then why did they suspend those same referees?
Well,
this week
I tend to agree with you. I think it was pretty rough, but I'm going to say this: they gave up. They gave up a Hail Mary on the next play. There's just no excuse for giving up that kind of play.
I'll say two things about this. Number one, Michigan always has to cheat to win, so don't forget about that. Number two, I think
– the journalist. Yeah, the fair
don't
journalist.
Forget that. Hey, Michigan always has to cheat to win. Number two, I honestly think – and I told our great friend, Jack Duggan, this morning. I think storming the field after beating a MAC opponent is worse than losing to a MAC opponent.
I think you're right about that. I was about to bring that up, but
that
was a little pathetic.
No shot. Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of Texas, was asked about it this morning at his press conference. He was like, "Listen, I don't know what the call was, if it was right or not, but why in the hell did they storm the field against a MAC opponent?"
Well, I think that's a really good question.
It's one thing to win a game. But if I'm a Michigan fan, I'm walking out going, we won the game, but that's it.
If I'm a Michigan fan, I'm walking out thinking we don't have the program we used to have.
Yeah.
Our program is taking a big
And if it takes two Hail Marys, whether they were legal or not, to beat Western Michigan.
That's bad. There's the point right there, is it not?
But to me, it just.
And then they stormed the field.
Yeah, and
that's
pretty
bad.
To just rip the heart out of those Western Michigan guys that played their guts out.
Really
think of Alabama stormed the field after beating South Alabama.
I don't think you're ever going to see that.
I don't think
happen,
you're going to see that.
All right, as we head to the break, I want to thank all of our great friends, Eagle Tire West, Deep At, 4th Street Bar and Grill. Well, we still think they're our friends, don't we? We do. And they are our friends. And Movie Star Restaurant, we got carried away covering football. We kind of got away a little bit from some of our live tags. But we love those guys. Yeah. We appreciate them. And they'll be with us all week long. We'll be right back, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, a good friend's out of Jewel Masters, Marty and Cindy Vick. They're buying gold and silver. If you got some old coins or jewelry laying around your house, be sure that you take it to Jewel Masters. That's where you'll get the very best price. All right, we've got a lot of football coming up. UConn here in 2 weeks. Dickie's Barbecue would be a great place for you to call, cater that event. They'll do a wonderful job for you. Also want to thank all of our great friends at Southern Bank Corp, Dickie's Barbecue, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, DBAT, MCS Home Center, where we were Friday and just had a great time out there. Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mo Bay Beignet Company. Real quickly, guys, going back to Friday, so much fun meeting the two new guys on the football team. And I wanted to ask in some of the coverage, how did our Australian punter do? Did he get on the field much Saturday?
He really didn't. Yeah, I think he punted twice. Once. He was a captain, though, which I thought was cool. Yeah. But, yeah, he only punted twice because of how good they played.
Most ripped punter I have ever seen in my life. If we get back linebacker injuries, I believe you could plug him right in.
Well, he asked me for my workout routine, my regimen.
I heard that, yeah.
And then he said, I'm going to do just the opposite.
Well,
I said, smart.
I think that's exactly what he has done, just looking at him. But two great kids. Really thank Hank Lott and the guys for bringing us down. But I just thought both young men were so impressive, so articulate, so happy to be here. It was a real pleasure meeting.
Good representatives of the football program for sure. In other Southern Miss athletics, volleyball 4-1 on the year. They were defeated by Ole Miss this past weekend 3-1, but they are getting ready for the Southern Miss Invitational this weekend. Their first match will be against Houston Christian. And the Southern Miss soccer team defeated Southern of Baton Rouge 8-0. Over the weekend, they now have 2 wins, 2 losses, and 2 ties. So they're still sorting themselves out as they get a little bit closer to conference play. So again, volleyball invitational this coming weekend, and Southern Miss soccer, I believe, in action again this coming Thursday.
Yeah. So. Saturday night, nationally televised game, right, Dima?
Yep, 6:45 SEC Network, I believe. So.
And if you have, it's my understanding, if you have the ESPN Plus or the ESPN Premier or mm-hmm. whatever, that is on, the SEC Network is included in that
correct.
Package.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
and now if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, you get all of it without even having to pay for ESPN Plus.
Thank you, I am. Really?
So there, cancel your ESPN Plus subscription.
I can see that. Thank you for that.
But not, save you $13.
But not all the other ESPN
yeah,
Plus games.
Yeah, it's everything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They bundled it in one.
Well, that's good to know. That's good enough.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that ESPN wouldn't call you and say you can cancel your subscription now that you're...
I'm sure you missed the call. Hey, guys, like I say, I was out of town, but tell me about the atmosphere Saturday. Was it a pretty good opening game atmosphere?
Yeah, I was a little nervous probably about 10 minutes before kickoff. The crowd looked a little... But it filled in quite nicely. And it was hot, and I understand that. So people didn't want to just sit out there and watch warm-ups, which I get it. I thought the entire lower bowl was... I mean, it wasn't like a great crowd by any means, but it was a fine crowd, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I know a lot of people are starting to talk now about what I've talked about for a few years now, is the idea of just knocking down the eastern upper deck.
Yeah.
I think that, and again, I have no idea what's involved. I just always knew as a kid it was easier to tear something down than to set it back up.
Yeah.
But, and the pluses and minuses
there's
of that.
There's no talk about that.
I'm sure the athletic department.
I can't imagine they would ever give in to that.
No.
I couldn't say that.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever heard it was like putting tarps up there, but yeah. I highly would doubt they'd ever demolish.
Well, just keep winning, and then more people will come.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
And unfortunately, this weekend there was news breaking out of the Summerall community just west of.
This
of
is a tragic story. Explain this, Kelly.
That Chance Daniels, a Summerall football player whose older brother Cole Daniels had played, was a great defensive tackle at Summerall, then went on to play at South Al and Old Dominion in the Sun Belt. Chance passed away, series of events this past weekend, and the fact that such a young person like that loses a life at such a young age, it's just so heartbreaking for a lot of people that are involved.
It's a senseless waste, and it's just a it's a waste that's just hard to put your hands around, because I saw a lot of pictures of that kid this morning. Just looked like a young, wonderful young man, full of life, had his whole life in front of him. It's just a terrible tragedy.
And life itself is fragile. The things that we take for granted, you know, we talked about Coach Anderson wearing that T-shirt.
Right,
I mean, we don't know tomorrow that any one of the three of us will be here.
I'm going to say this about that took some courage, because he knew there was going to be and you say criticism has already surfaced.
Yeah, no, he certainly knew it. And again, like I was saying earlier, like he knew that criticism was going to surface, because he knew that would be seen. But that's the reason he did it. And, you know, it goes back to, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? One of the verses in the New Testament. And he is not ashamed, 100%. And he displays that well.
100%. And Southern Miss kind of has a reputation of being a rather liberal school,
well, this
particularly
man told
in the South.
I know you two remember this. He told us in an interview we did with him earlier this year that he was this is his exact words, I'm a broken man. I would not be here if it were not for Jesus Christ.
Amen. None of us would be.
Right.
For this, and the stuff that he's had to endure. And this is a story that could be ongoing. If this team continues to progress, when I know Vegas is pretty nervous right now after seeing the way they played this weekend, having an over and under at 3.
Coach Anderson, welcome to Southern Miss football, man. We are happy, happy to have you here.
And look, we're with you. Whether you go to Auburn this weekend and win or tie, we're with you.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.